Good afternoon. It's good to see each and every one. I shouldn't be here, but I am. I'll tell you, what we're going to do is kind of counting your chickens before you hatch. We're going to finish up next Sunday morning, the fourth chapter, and try to introduce Colossians. Next Wednesday night, we hope to finish the introductory of Colossians and then Grant will teach a couple times, I guess. We're in the fourth chapter of Philippians tonight, and remember what we've been talking about. Anything that occupies our mind and our vocabulary is our God. And I don't know if we look at it that way or not when we go through the daytime. Anything that possess our attention to that point that that's all we think about and that's all we do, that's all we talk about, then that probably is the most important thing about our life, and that should not be. Live this present life the best that we can, and that's what God requires us to. Do the best we can, and that way heaven will be our home. This world is definitely not our home. It's so easy to get wrapped up in the cares and problems of this world and this world. And most of the time, this world is just a nice place. Our lives is nice. My life has been nice. And so I can, kind of feel at home here in this world, but this is not it. We've been talking about in Scripture that in the fourth chapter, especially Paul, we press towards the goal with all that we can do attitude. Don't let up and don't give up. A lot of time the going gets tough, but we have to hang in there. And Paul said the goal is heaven. So that's what we do. We do all we can to get there. And I'll just be perfectly honest with you. Sometimes it takes a lot more than what we think it will to get there. We have God on our side, and we have Christ on our side. We couldn't make it without them, but we set our mind on good things. That's probably what makes life so hard, is that we don't have our mind set on good things. But we set our mind on good things, and it'll make the day go by a whole lot easier if we do that, and make it a lot easier for us. And we have to work at doing that. Mark 11, chapter 24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." I don't think we rely upon God like God wants us to. I don't think we rely upon Christ like He wants us to. I don't think we pray like you want to. Prayer is a powerful tool that we have on our side. And we have God on our side, and we have Christ on our side. And so that eliminates everything that a lot of things that I do, and of course, I'm type, I'm just like the other people. I just think I can do it all myself. I don't think God wants us to do it that way. I think when we leave in the morning time, when we get in back, we ask God to be with us, and I have to ask God to help me see His strength and His wisdom, and by the fact He's with me, and for me not think I'm self-contained, and I can do it all myself. When I get in at nighttime, I thank God for being with me and my family, and then I thank Him for, that I accept His power and His wisdom. It's so easy to get to the point that we just hustle here and hustle there and everything and forget all about God, and that it's not about him, it's all me. And no, it's not all me either. If it is, life is going to be harder and tougher than it was. So we're getting ready to look at the first verse of the fourth chapter. And the very first verse of the fourth chapter, and this will be the last chapter in Philippians, then we're going to go in Colossians. I don't know how much we get done today, but we'll finish it Sunday, and we'll hopefully start on the introductory Sunday of Colossians, and then we Wednesday night finish that up, then we'll start, I think it has four chapters too. We'll start on that. But the first verse is Paul exhorts to stand fast. And I think when we look at this, Paul recognized that the brethren is going to have problems there. He says, stand fast in the Lord. This is the main message in the first verse of the fourth chapter. Christians all need to stand firm and not be swept away into sin. And that's something we have to work at. At least I do. It's very easy to be swept up in sin. It's very easy to be swept in a sin or into accepting a doctrine that's not taught in the Scripture. And that's very easy too. What's the best way of not accepting doctrine that's not taught in the Scripture?
Know the Scripture.
Know the Scripture, right. And I mentioned somebody, I sent Cindy, I said, we drive along, I see all these denominations, see signs on there, and they got weird saying. I said, does anybody not go there that has something to say, that know that that's a false statement out there on the sign? Go in and ask about what's going on? So, it's something that we have to work at. People say, oh, there's nothing to this. You know, it's all God takes care of everything. No. God expects us to want to accept His assistance and to work at it. And it takes a lot of work for me to do. I got to keep my mind in gear and fight Satan constantly. I recognize God is there and Christ is there, and I pray to use their wisdom and their strength and use His word that He's given me. And let me get my Bible, because I referred to it a few times. A piece of paper that I was going to talk to you about, but they're not here, so I'll do it Sunday, I guess. We stand fast because Christ is powerful. We've seen that, I wasn't here, but when Grant taught the third chapter in verse 21, he's talking about how powerful Christ is. That's why we stand fast. Because He's the most powerful force there is in the universe. And because our citizenship is in heavens, where God and Christ is, we look upon our fellow Christians as brethren. And that's the way we need to do. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. What does that mean to you?
Brothers and sisters, you think of your family.
Yeah, you think of your family. And if you have any problems, what are you going to do? You're going to call one of your brethren to help you. Or call one of your sisters to help you. And we got Christ, we got God, and we got brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a pretty forceful group right there. And we need to keep that in mind. We're not by ourselves. We can't do it by ourselves. We need all the help we can get. And we should be the type of person that we help each other and do that. Paul shows pain because of his separation. There, when you read the fourth chapter, then when you read the first chapter, he says, my joy. He refers to the brethren as his joy. And when he's separated from them, Christians should find joy in fellowship with other Christians. Some of the best time of your life that you have is when you're with others. And our brothers and sisters in Christ, we do things with. to outsiders. When we stand fast in the Lord, we are of the same mind in the Lord. That's what he's talking about. We have the same leader, the same purpose, and therefore, and we rejoice in the Lord. We stand in the Lord. That is, with the Lord at his directions. This is his direction for us right here. He's not going to send some dream. We're not going to see no burning bush. We're not going to hear no little voice, as some profess that they do. We open up the scripture and we make ourselves familiar with these principles that he has in here. And then when that something happens during the daytime in our life, we recall that there's a principle in the Bible about that. And we know how to deal with it. So we need to keep in mind life is hard, but the Lord is powerful. Life is hard, but the Lord is there. He lives within us, and he directs us if we allow him to do that. We need to get to the point that we have to allow and rely on him, because he's the first and foremost of everything in our mind. Virtue of harmony and joy. In the next two, three verses, we have something not really explained to us in the verse, but I think we have a couple ladies here, Yodith and Cynthiath, or however you pronounce it. They have a small disagreement from what I get, and as Christian Lord, and that happens sometimes, and we need to be cognizant. We have two women at Philippi, that needs to stop their quarreling and agree together in the Lord, be of the same mind. If we let this book direct us, it cuts a lot of this out. And I don't know if that's all the problems that they had in, but I think they had a disagreement, which is not very flattering to begin with, for two sisters have a disagreement. The saints could and should help them, and they should help themselves. Perhaps it's just a personality conflict. And I don't know, I'm not saying that, but something, Paul says that they need some help, but something's not right about the two ladies between them. And they need to come back to the Lord's wisdom, to God's wisdom, and to the brethren, and not be fighting amongst themselves.
Charles?
Yes.
Charles?
Yes. Yeah, it's probably gone on too long. It shouldn't be that way. And if and when it is, you should put a stop to it. It should never get that far, you know, anything like that. Be rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ always. After all the sorrow there is in the world, and Paul's not denying that there is a lot of sorrow in the world. There's a lot of sorrow in the world now. Every night when you turn the television on, somebody got shot, you know. People goes into schools and shoot the place up. People go up to a cop sitting in a police car and shoot him dead, you know. There's a lot of sorrow in the world. It should never be. I still say, be rejoicing. Let your general reasonable nature be known to all. The Lord is at hand. Recognizing that the Lord is at hand, the Lord is near, yes, always near us. That means he's always going to help us. He's always there, and we're always going to need him. We need him. I need him. You need him. Us use him. There's not a more powerful force in the universe than the Lord that we serve, than God, the creator of the universe. So we need to keep in mind, we rejoice over that. I rejoice because I had a mother and father taught me about that. I rejoice because I was raised up in the church and knew about that. And most of you the same way. You rejoice because you're in the Lord and the Lord is in you. Yes.
Stand fast. One of the reasons that he reminds us to stand
Yeah.
And he says, but remember, all of our focus should be that we're citizens of heaven and partially degraded, which will keep us steadfast, which will keep us to where we stand fast in the truth and in unity and in fellowship. So then when he gets to verse 2, he says to Yuri and Cynthia, he says, they shouldn't be quarreling. They ought to be getting along with their citizenship in heaven. It's not about them. It's not about their preeminence in the church or their opinions and their ideas. It's about God's will for them and their lives. And so he says, make sure that you stand fast in the truth, that you stand fast with one another in unity and fellowship in the right thing, not focusing on earthly things and making that your emphasis, but rather make spiritual things your emphasis and getting to your eternal goal in heaven. And that is worth rejoicing in and not living like sorrowful sorrow.
Paul had a pretty good handle on that. And that's the reason we should imitate him, because he had a pretty good hold on this, and he gives us some reason why we should. The mark of a Christian life is joy and moderation. Barclay says rejoicing is in the present tense. Be rejoicing, because the Lord is constantly joy is possible if we're in the Lord. If we let our mind, our life dwell upon certain things that the Lord wants us to, all the other things is going to be rubbish to us. And that's what he's trying to hear. It shouldn't be one day that we're so high up and next day I'm so low I'm not down, that I am down. Be rejoicing, because the Lord expects us to be more constant with one of that, and he's more constant in blessing us and taking care of us. And so it's possible. I can't do that within Charlie's power himself, but I can do it with the Lord's help. And that's what I need keep in mind. He says forbearance must be shown to all men, not just church members, but to everybody that we come in contact with. This is what I work with, and I have to work with it. Some people just rub you the wrong way. You just got to watch that and stay on top of it. You got to work at it. But you can, with the Lord's help and with God's help, work at it. To the Christian, the second coming of the Lord is always looked upon as being near. And that would help us a lot, too. We say, well, the Lord might come this afternoon. I get up this morning. The Lord might come this morning. And we always look for his coming. We act like he's always near, and any time it can happen. And it could happen any time. And that'll make us constantly try to be a hold of it. Here's a good point that's coming up. In the 6th and 7th verse, he says, do not worry. That's hard not to do. Be anxious, I think is what he's talking about, to the excess amount about things. Let your requests be made to God in everything by prayer, devotion, and supplication for your needs with thanksgiving. And let it go. Let it go. Sometimes you just got to let things go. After you pray to God and you ask God, and everything, if it doesn't happen, what can you do about it? You'd already communicated to the greatest power there is in the universe. God doesn't see fit for you to have it or do it that way. Let it go. Let it go. Don't be anxious or worry about anything.
Charles,
yes.
You know, there are several passages that deal with that. We've got this one. We've got the one in 1 Peter 5 that says, cast all your anxiety upon him. And the one in Hebrews 13 where it says, I'll never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. The Lord's my helper. I'll not be afraid. What shall man do to me? In Romans 8:18, for I consider the suffering of this present time are not
Let me tell you, I have got calls from Larry. And he said, I don't want nothing. He said, I just want to say, hear a voice of somebody else that's struggling through life. I just want to talk, hear my brother talk. And he just talked and just wanted me to talk. You know, that's what we have in fellowship with one another. And when we put our trust in God like we should, sometimes it can get burdened down. You do what you have to do. Yes, Freddie?
You know, wearing is like, you can fix it, go fix it. If you can't, don't worry about it. Of course, that's easier said than done. I read somewhere that says, wearing is like rocking in a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't get you to work.
I have seen and dealt with people that emotionally they just fall pieces over the least little thing. We got to get beyond that point. Yes.
In John 16, Christ said, therefore you know you now have sorrow, but I will see you again and your heart will rejoice in you, and your joy no one will take from you or take it away from you. You know, the joy, true joy is in the Lord and in the idea that there's salvation. There's something beyond here and now. We may now have sorrow. We may now miss something. We may now actually feel pain and feel anxiety. But we can get beyond the anxiety because we know that there is something that is perfect. If this world was perfect, we wouldn't want to go to heaven. So or we wouldn't seek to go somewhere better. And, you know, I was thinking there in Acts chapter 5, remember when Peter and the apostles went before the council of Gamaliel, and they had been in prison that before. They were praying. God released them out. They went back to preaching. Then the council went and recalled them from the streets. And when they came, they beat them and released them, told them not to preach in his name. And it says they left rejoicing that they could count it all joy to be able to suffer for Christ.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't about the here and now. It wasn't about their comfort. It wasn't about their sorrow. It was about, am I serving God and fulfilling his need?
We eventually got to get to that point, don't we? And if you will do this, and if you will do this, the peace of God which exceeds all human understanding will guard over your heart and thoughts. Protect both your emotions and your mind and keep them safe in Christ Jesus. What more can we ask for? If we just have a bunch of enough faith and trust in it. So every once in a while, I just got to stop and look at that. Every once in a while, we just got to stop and turn it over to the Lord. Yes, Freddie.
Romans 8:31 says this, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Right.
And we keep that in mind. We've got a good attitude.
Yes, and one way we keep it in mind is to be here on Wednesday night doing the midweek Bible study and get another shot in the arm so that we can do it. It's hard when we try to do it by ourselves. That's another reason we need the Lord. Be worried about nothing. I had to work on that for a long time. God promised that inward peace of his soul comes from him, from God, his presence and his promise. That's what God promised. So when we get to that point, I'm not worrying about it. I pray to God about it. I ask God about it. If I die in my sleep, I die before I went to sleep, I pray to God, have mercy on my soul. If I don't wake it, I don't wake it. I'm in bad health. I know I'm in bad health. If I'm not here Sunday, I'm not here Sunday. Just do the best I can. Put it in God's hand. I'd already talked to God about it. I told God that I'd like to stay here a little longer if I could. If I can't, it's his call. Christians should be able to live above emotional tension. Sometimes you just gotta stop and say, wait a minute. That don't mean a hill of beans. We live above the world. Why worry when we can pray if we're in Christ? Why should you worry about something when you can pray? Why should I worry about my family after I'm dead and gone? My wife, my grandchildren, my children. Do the best I can while I'm here. Let it go. Yes, Pat.
I think that's probably why every time we read about praying to God and making our requests known to Him, whether it's in Colossians 3:15 or here in Philippians, every time He couples it with thanksgiving. He says, with thanksgiving, always be thankful. Every time. He says, pray without ceasing, and then the same within a verse, He says, be thankful.
Right.
So we're thankful ahead of time. We're recognizing that God's power can work and will work and is working.
Yes.
And we're not doubting.
Right.
It's not just be thankful when He comes about and does what He says. You know assuredly that God will come through for you. So go ahead and tell Him you're thankful for it.
And if we have the attitude and disposition about things in life that Paul has, then we can live above emotional attention. Because we won't let all this minor stuff interfere with us. Especially interfere with us going to heaven. Nothing should do that, interfere with us going to heaven. Virtue of right thinking. This is something I have control over that I need to do. Set my mind on good things. You know, you can dwell on something bad so long. Do what you saw in my life, Paul says. Peace comes to those who are in a right relationship with God. So, when I'm taking inventory, I make sure I'm in the right relationship with God. If I have sin in my life, I stop and pray and tell Him to forgive me. Forgive me of my sin. If I have another day, I'm going to try to do better. Set your mind on good things. There's so much bad things happens to you during the daytime. You can just dwell upon that, on that, on that, on that, and on that. You just find that you're bitter and sour on the world and your family and everything else. You can't do that. So, Apostle Paul says, the things which ye both learn and receive and heard and saw in me, these things do. And God, the creator of peace, shall be with you. How could we ask for anything better?
Well, verse 8 and 9 go back and give you a good application for verse 6. If we think about all that's good and we're focused on 8 and 9, that helps us deal with being anxious in verse 6.
Right. I agree.
That word meditate on these things there at the end, I have a note that I wrote in here at some point. It says, set your attention here. I think that's the actual translation of that. Is, and to his point, if we set our attention wholly on these good things, then we're not distracted by these other things. They're not constantly causing us distraction and disbelief in God.
You're exactly right. And I think I have the next question I have coming up. I have, set your mind on good things. Why? Pat was answering, why we should do that. If I don't, I interfere with everybody's life around me. If I don't set my mind on good things, I'm cross, irritable, don't feel good. I might have a legit reason for... I have, as a matter of fact, I got out of the bed, literally got out of bed to come here tonight. I told Santa, I said, I got to go lay down. I can't make it. And then most of my days is like that anymore. Set your mind on good things. Why? So it doesn't interfere with my life and it doesn't interfere with your life. Grant's not going to enjoy being with me all the time if I just complain and bitter and upset with the world and hate the world and everything's going on in the world. So Paul's saying, you center your mind upon me, upon God, and upon Christ, and you pray, and your life's going to be a whole lot better.
Charles?
Yes.
What you just said about saying your mind on Christ, I really think that's what you're looking at here, is because, you know, you think about why it was true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good repute, excellent, worthy of praise. Christ.
Christ. He's all of the above.
That's it.
That's it.
It's Christ.
Christ is my life. Then I'm going to have a better life. I really am. It's not all about Charlie. What happens to Charlie is not going to matter. Southside is going to be here a long time after Charlie leaves. The Creator of peace will be with you. Somebody could just come up and tell you, if you do these things, the Creator of peace will be with you. Wouldn't you be interested in doing it? Yes, you would. I would be too. Let me tell you this. Evil thoughts defiles a man. That's what Mark 7:21. That's another reason we don't have evil thoughts. We don't think evil. We don't participate in evil. We don't do evil. If we find that we correct ourselves right then and stop. Don't put a stop to it. Ask the Lord to forgive you. And then try to carry on with life. Evil thoughts will defile a man. I could think evil about some of you when I have no right to do that. And it'll corrupt me more so than it probably will be you. I like this too over in Isaiah. It says, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Isaiah 55:7. You don't have anything to do with the unrighteous man. And if you are the unrighteous man, forsake his thought. Get it out of your mind. Forget about it. Get it back on Christ. Get it back on God. And Paul does a good job. He appeals to the Philippians to think on good things. Not only will it be better for them, but he knew that they were going to have a tendency not to. He knew they were going to struggle if they didn't. Think on good things. In your case, you think about Charlie. No, I'm just kidding. But we need to think on good things. Think about, oh, life is good here, but it's going to be better up there. Yes, it is. I have never been there, but I want to be there. But it's going to be better. Larry has been a friend here, but I'm going to have more friends up there.
Charles, verse 9. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. That's an apostolic example.
Yes, it is.
And
put the pressure on you too, doesn't it?
It puts pressure.
Yes, it does.
It's also can be taken as a challenge to each of us.
Yes, it can.
Kind of example. Charles and Doug and Freddie and Dale can be examples, but the rest of us can be as well.
You got to be. You have to be. You have to be. You have to be. Everybody, somebody's looking at you. Looking at you. Using you as an example. When I retired 11 years ago, I wrote 18 checks every Friday. Those men and women looked to me, not only for their livelihood, but they looked to me how I act and how I dealt with things. And what meant to me. And it was a burden on me to make sure that they got their check and make sure I lived in front of them like they're supposed to be lived in front of. 18 lives, families, a lot of families. So I signed 18 checks every Friday. Yes.
You don't ever know who is looking
right
to you. I mean, I was playing ball many years ago, and this young girl later came up to me and said, I could tell you were a Christian. She didn't know me from Adam, except the
right.
way I acted on the ball field. So
that makes you feel good, doesn't somebody come up and tell you that?
It does. And
yeah.
It's like, no matter where you are, whether you're at work, you're at play,
right. You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
And you never know when you're going to see somebody that knows you or knows about you.
Right.
In Kalispell, Montana, a woman walked up to me and says, do you know so-and-so in Bowling Green? Well, I grew up with the man that she's talking about. She was his sister. Another time I was at Disney World. And, you know, there's a few people at Disney World every now and then. Well, Chuck Phillips walked up to me that day. And he was another deacon at 12th Street.
He could have. He probably was. I check into a motel out in Glendale, Arizona, and the guy behind the registry, he looked at the rest, and he said, you wouldn't be the Clark from Clark Realty in Bowling Green, Kentucky, would you? And I said, are you kidding me? See you Sunday.